Welcome back to Right Side Radio. I'm Scott Buttram with the Trustful Tribune, sitting in for Phil Williams today, and awaiting us on the phone is my friend, editor-in-chief of 1819, host of the Jeff Poor Radio Show, and now his columns appear weekly in the Trustful Tribune. Jeff Poor, how you doing today, my friend?
Doing well. Thanks for having me on.
I was reliably told I would be seeing video of you. What, I'm just seeing a still shot here.
Yeah, we're not doing that.
No video today.
You only do video of Dale's here? Or is that the deal?
No, we wouldn't do that one either.
Up to it. We wouldn't fill it up. Dale doesn't ever do it. Every now and then I'm feeling like I need to be on video. I don't know why, but today I just... It's a chaos in the studio.
Not feeling it today. Do you have the dogs or the kid?
The kid. School flooded over the weekend.
Flooded?
And, he's been out. So he got a second fall break. It flooded. You just like, what do you do?
Holy cow. I didn't know you guys got hit that hard down there.
We didn't. They're doing construction. They're adding on to it. And I guess they did not prepare properly.
Well, I'm sure he's enjoying fall break number two. And it sounds like you've got
no choice but
to enjoy it too.
You may get the opportunity to hear him in the background here any moment.
Well, as you know, somebody that had kids well into their 40s, it won't faze me. If he chimes in, he chimes in. We'll be good with that. Hey, listen, we spoke with Danny Garrett a little earlier and got an update on the AHSAA situation, which is really no update. We know that there was a meeting between Executive Director Heath Harmon and the private schools recently. I'm being told, and I've actually heard this from a couple of places now, that the meeting didn't go all that well. That he was asking the private schools, you know, to be allies and to support them in this, and at the same time telling them the problem with the CHOOSE Act is it gives you guys an unfair advantage. You know, they've treated private schools and the AHSAA like stepchildren for about 50 years. That had to be a pretty uncomfortable conversation.
Yeah, and then now they are like wanting, I guess, I think this is so misguided, Scott, that they think that if they could just woo these private school guys to their side and get them to work the refs a little in Montgomery, that it all will be well. It's tone deaf, and you're right. Like, why do these guys, should they play ball with you? Because they're going to do the John Carrolls or... UMS rights or whatever are going to do what we're going to do with or without the CHOOSE Act. I don't understand the calculus here.
I don't either, but I'm just fascinated by how this conversation, how did Heath Harmon open this conversation? We've violated the law that specifically says we, calls us by name, cannot do this. Well, we went ahead and did it. We've broken the law. We'd like you guys to join us and become, what do they call that? Accomplices after the fact? Is that what they call it?
Essentially, yeah.
How do you persuade a bunch of people to help you break the law? And, of course, I will say this. Private schools are not reliant on the state legislature for funding. I would probably be talking to his public school members who are totally reliant on the state for funding.
Scott, I think that they think that the private schools are the ones driving all of this, that they're the ones to, why are we from point A to point B is because of the private schools. And that's not it. I mean, they're misunderstanding the politics and how school choice came to be. They have lost Donnie Chastain, who is he is the legislature's coach's coach and educator and AEA guy.
Yeah.
They have lost him. Whoever's advising these guys is it's probably this. The people advising him, they're just not listening to their advice, and they're really being dumb about it.
Right. I think there's also a real disconnect between public schools and parents that want school choice. I think in their mind, they don't think it's that big a deal to most parents. At the same time, they appear to be terrified that there could be a mass walkout because kids now have school choice. You and I talked about that throughout the school choice campaign. There was never going to be a mass exit of public schools. Most parents, it's just easier to have your kid in a public school. There was never going to be some big walkout and loss of students. But there are areas of the state, Jeff, where parents are going to seize the opportunity to get their kids out of miserably failing public schools. Those are in the Democrat area, and they were against school choice. Representative Garrett just told us, yeah, those guys are on board with us now.
Yeah. Well, is it just kind of, are we overthinking this? That has nothing to do with this, and it's just like, hey, you're not going to come tell us what to do. Who do you think you are? The Alabama legislature's going to boss around the Alabama High School Athletic Association. Do you know, Scott, that we were created through a federal mandate? They act like they have a consent decree.
Yeah.
They don't.
They don't.
But they think they do. They do. Then let's just say that let's give them the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
This is what they believe. What world do you just go willy-nilly violating the law and not just say, hey, okay, you do the CHOOSE Act, we're taking you to court. We're taking you to federal court, and we're not going to be beholden to your state law. If you believe that this is where you are in the world right now, and they're not, but maybe that's it here, then why did they CHOOSE this method of going against the Alabama legislature and the governor?
Well, let's start with this. That's a credible question. Because they have a long history of simply having the audacity to say, you're not bossing me around.
Right.
And they've won all these, you know, they've won court decision after court decision that said, no, these are voluntary members of this group, and they have every right to set the rules and do what they want to do. Now, that's, of course, a totally different issue than we're looking at right here. But they do have a long history of arrogance. So I think it's fair to ask that question because it's always been there. I also took a really close look at their 15-member central board. We see one retired private school coach, we see one public school coach, and we see 13, as Senator Chris Elliott refers to them, 13 educrats, superintendents, assistant superintendents, principals. Maybe it really is fear of school choice.
I was kind of dismissive of them. Well, that's tinfoil hat silliness. These guys, they don't care about school choice. They just care about maintaining their fiefdom. But then if you put a bunch of guys who are ideologically opposed to school choice in this scenario, and they carry a lot of they believe they're the juggernaut. They have a lot of weight. They have a lot of political clout. That it's important. It's the ends justify the means here. They have to stop public schools. The dollars that should be going to public schools from going to the private sector. That's just wrong.
Yeah.
That's just not the way our education system should be handled.
Well, and we do see on that list of central board members a couple of very outspoken superintendents who were very much opposed to school choice. I I'm starting to think that maybe in their mind, this was kind of their last shot back at the legislature. You know, they got to be careful here because, you know, we just had the guy on the phone that's going to set their budget. Every bit of their money has got to come through Montgomery, so they got to be careful what they do there. Maybe they saw this as a way to punish the parents that take advantage of school choice without punishing the legislature who passed the school choice bill. But it didn't work out that way for them, if that's what they were thinking.
Well, and that's the other thing. They think their management style, it's sort of, I don't know if it's quite, how would you describe it, but there is a little bit of this like, okay, you go ahead and do what, you know, it's just like what they did with this court order that says, okay, here's an injunction. You could play, whether they just, okay, we respect what the courts say, or we disagree, but we will honor. No, it's like, okay, your kids can come here and play, but
at your own risk.
No, we're going to remember this.
Yeah,
we're
at your own risk. There'll be forfeits if we flip it.
Yeah, but it's even this. It's probably more punitive than that. And, you know, this is what they do. Spanish Fort, down here, they had an eligible player playing soccer. And I guess it was kind of the bureaucratic nightmare and wasn't really sure about the eligibility, but wound up playing.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Spanish Fort High School was like, wait, you told us initially that this would be okay. And we thought, we changed our minds. And the school wanted to fight the AHSAA. Well, here's what they do. Spanish Fort High School is part of the Baldwin County school system. And they said, okay, you could fight us, but just know that entire school system, everything from the beaches all the way up to Monroe County, there's a lot of high school athletics there. We wouldn't want your silly little soccer lawsuit to impact your entire school system. And the school system backed down. And this is sort of you see this time and time again from this organization.
Yeah.
And it's bad. It is not the way. It's not a good example for young minds. It's young student athletes at that impressionable age to see the way the world works, because the world doesn't work that way.
You know, I think they may have really underestimated Montgomery in this. That's what I keep coming back to. You've got the governor's office, and you've talked about this extensively, Jeff. The governor, she kind of picks her fights. You know, she's not going to get in every one of them, but when she gets in, she is
plays to win.
That's right. She's not walking away. If she gets in the fight, she's in the fight. She jumped in this. The speaker jumped in this. You mentioned Donnie Chastain, who actually killed a school choice bill a year before we passed a school choice bill. He's the one that sent it to committee and basically sent it there to die.
Yeah. It went ETF, and then it went to Ed Policy, and then he was the chair of Ed Policy, and he just kind of sat on it till the last few days. Oh, well, we think this needs to go back to the ETF. And that was all the tactic. Though. You're right. They've underestimated, but they've always gotten their way. Now, they hired the Blue Blood lobbying firm. They got Fine and Getty as their representation. They have allies. They traditionally have had allies, some of the Democrats. I think there's this here that they believe that if the legislature tries to do something, well, they got the manpower just to kill it.
Yeah.
And maybe they do, but they got a lot of lawmakers that are turning against them.
Oh yeah. I didn't even mention the lieutenant governor, who is fit to be tied over this. And now you got Democrat lawmakers who were anti-school choice or over there shaking their heads going, no, we're not having this. Jeff, we're headed to a break. Can you hang with us through it?
Sure.
Good. Thank you for that. This is Scott Buttram sitting in for Phil Williams on Right Side Radio. Hang tight. We'll be back right after these messages. Welcome back to Right Side Radio. I'm Scott Buttram from the Trussell Tribune sitting in today for Phil Williams. On the line with us is Jeff Poor from the Jeff Poor Radio Show and from 1819 News. Jeff, just before the break, and Jeff, by the way, I can't get JP to play any Waylon during our break. Is that something Phil doesn't allow up here? Is he not a Waylon fan?
Got some very like cookie cutter music taste, doesn't he? Am I wrong? Anybody want to step out of line here?
No, Phil.
Tell me off air if you need to.
Phil is vanilla all the way, which is why we love him. You and I were having a conversation earlier today on your show, and I kind of want to bring that back up because I'm bemused. That's the word I want to use. I'm bemused with the No Kings marches that took place over the weekend. Specifically, this group picture out of Birmingham where it showed pretty good turnout for the No Kings march in Birmingham, Alabama. And that had to be the single whitest group picture I've ever seen come out of Birmingham, Alabama.
Yeah, you have to really try hard to go, I guess, was it Kelly Ingram Park or Lynn Park or and get that photo. It's just not possible under any other circumstances, apparently, except for a No Kings Democrat minded protest.
Yeah, and it's very interesting considering that I would be very comfortable saying the majority of the Democrat Party in Alabama is made up of African Americans. And it was the Democrats that were all behind the No Kings, but it didn't appear to be the majority of the Democratic Party in Alabama at the Birmingham March.
No, but this is pretty true universally. From sea to shining sea, it's made up of these aging boomers. Maybe they're not quite old enough for the 60s, but they're just, you know, that they came in a little late and they're trying to rekindle their youth. But it's amazing that those are the people who are the like most passionately anti-Trump. I mean, it's just like it looked like these people would steal a baseball from my son, a home run ball at a baseball game if he had caught it. I mean, this is sort of the demographic there.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I'm gonna tell JP, turn your mic on, JP. Get in this conversation. Mm-hmm. As probably, I'm assuming, the only boomer in this conversation, I'd like to address that. I was actually born in 1960, which is widely considered the last year of boomers. I recognize these people, Jeff, and that's what I want both of you young fellows to know. I've seen these people. I grew up with these people. We spent most of high school and college picking on these people. Some of them probably still have dried spitballs on the back of their head from high school days. Is this their moment of glory after being our victims all these years? Is this like their last say on the way to the grave?
I don't know, but it's a weird that this is the typecast who will take a Saturday morning not to go up at a deer stand, not to watch college game day, not to, you know, do stuff with your family. You're going to, you're dressing up as a phallic symbol on the side of a major highway in Fairhope, Alabama, because you're so mad at the big bad orange man. I mean, you know, what's supposed to be my takeaway here? But there seems to be a common theme. I don't know. It's like there's some cats in need of a cat lady or something. It's really remarkable, Scott.
Well, and somebody texted in earlier. These are the Woodstock people, like the Woodstock generation. So it kind of tracks, you know, like what Jeff said, trying to relive their youth. But the only way they can do it, because they don't have fulfilling lives of their own, is to go and bark at random people in public about why they hate Trump. So
what a shame to have your two biggest world events 50 years apart.
Yeah, exactly.
And you'll be gone next. That's about it. Hey, Jeff, we've got a break coming up here. We appreciate you joining us very much. That was Jeff Poore with the Jeff Poore Radio Show, and the editor-in-chief of 1819 News, and my friend. I appreciate it. By the way, if you haven't seen his column in the Trustful Tribune, go online and read it right now. It is up. We're going to take a short break. This is Scott Buttram sitting in for Phil Williams. JP and I will be right back.